you, Brother Ziegler, and good evening. It is good to see you here tonight, and I trust that you had a great day today and accomplished everything that you needed to. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't, but I'm glad that we can lay those things aside and focus our attention on God for just a little while, and I hope that that is your purpose in being here tonight, not just to see and be seen, but to glean from God's Word. That's the important thing. Most important element of the service is His Word being proclaimed. And that happens through the songs, that happens through prayer, that happens through special songs, that happens through, I hope it happens through preaching of the Word, but His Word goes forth. And I trust that your heart is ready to say yes to Him and that you'll walk in the light that He shines on your pathway. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn in them to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to do it at least one more time. And I was reviewing notes of this today and this afternoon, and even looked ahead a little bit of what we could do a little further on in chapter 12. And so who knows, maybe we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12 for this entire revival. I've never done this before in a revival. I just felt prompted before this revival ever began, and that this is where we needed to be. And so I hope that you're growing with me. I'm growing, and I hope that you are as well. And I trust that you're minding the Lord. If you are under the age of 12, and I like little folks. And so if you're under the age of 12, and you can quote these verses, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, to me tomorrow night, I will make sure you get a reward, okay? And it'll be worth your while. If I can find somewhere that I can change a 20 in for some ones, I'll give you $1 if you can, $1 a verse. How's that? All right? So if you're under 12, I may be in trouble. I may need to go get more than a 20. I'm just looking around. And, wow. Are there banks around here that are, I'm just kidding. I'll commit to that, all right? So if you're under the age of 12, and if you're over the age of 12 and you memorize the entire book of Hebrews, I'll give you a $100 bill, all right? But that's by tomorrow night. I think I'm safe on that one. I should have done that on the little tykes, huh? Oh, man. No, I guess if you memorize the entire book of Hebrews, I'd give you $100. But little guys, you can do that, I think. Get God's Word in your heart and keep it there. And it's good to see Vernon Sharon. Sharon watched our little guy Scott. Actually kind of did a year of kindergarten, pre-kindergarten with him when we were in Oklahoma. And part of that was memorizing Scripture and little motions that went along with it. And if you were to ask Scott to quote the 23rd Psalm, he'd want to start doing the motions, walking up at arm, or who knows. Sharon, you want to stand up and demonstrate tonight? But those passages of Scripture have stayed with him. And I encourage you to put God's Word in your heart. All right? And you older folks, you're not beyond memorizing. I know you think it sometimes. I can't remember a thing. Well, just I have a friend who's in his late 70s, and he has Bible verses that he puts on the dash of his car. And he puts one there for a month, and then he changes it to another one and changes it to another one. Hey, he gets 12 verses a year just doing that. And you can put it on the vanity mirror or whatever. Get God's Word in your heart. And it'll see you through. I don't know how many times I begin to quote something. I don't even know where it's from. And then I realize it's a passage of Scripture that I memorized some time ago. And I have to go find out where it's from. And so memorize the reference too, okay? And that'll serve you well. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 1. Let's stand as we look at God's Word together. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. As we look into this passage, at least this one more time, I pray that you'd give us minds to comprehend, hearts that want to obey, and wills to live it out. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Like a story I read not too long ago, two gas company employees were working out in the field. There was an older training supervisor and a much younger trainee. They were out checking gas meters and walking down the street. And as their course took them, they finished their task down the street while their truck was parked up the street. And as they finished up and they looked up the street to where their vehicle was parked, the older man turned to the younger man and said, "Let's race." And so they took off running up the street back to their vehicle that was parked up the road. And they got there and they leaned against the truck gasping for breath. And all of a sudden a lady ran up and stood beside them. They were a little bewildered as to why she was there. And so they stopped and asked her what was wrong. And gasping for breath, she said, "When I see two men working for the gas company running away from my house at full speed, I figured I'd better run too." She was running, but she really didn't know why she was running. You know, sometimes I think that's true for folks in the church world. You've been around church all of your life. You've been a part of the fellowship. You know everybody who's in service. You know everything there is to know about them. You know grandmas and grandpas. And you're in the church. You're just kind of blending in. And you really don't know why you're doing it. I want to remind you of what we've shared over the course of this revival. The reason why we do it is because Jesus is the all-sufficient one. Jesus is the one that made it possible. You remember we went back to Hebrews chapter 1 and we found that He is the one who spoke and this world came into existence. We read that He was the one that created all things. We read that He is the heir of all things. We read that it was Jesus who purged our sins. We saw how Jesus is the sufficient one. We were wowed by that. We were also concerned because of the dangers that the writer of the book of Hebrews gave to us and how he said, "Whoa, don't go here, don't do that, don't drift away." And so he was warning us. And then on Wednesday night, we talked about the fact that we're in a race, but we have to be faithful, don't we? We have to put our faith in something. It's not just in this nebulous world that exists out there, but our faith is in Jesus Christ. And we can see that described for us down through chapter 11. And last night we talked about that great cloud of witnesses who are standing on the sidelines. They're cheering us on. They want us to make it. And friends, we should be cheering one another on. Amen? We ought to be helping each other make it to heaven. We ought to be pushing one another to make it to that finish line. We ought not to be looking for reasons to cut people down and cast people aside. We need to be chalking their spiritual wheels, helping them to make it to that eternal city. I've said this many times to my staff, both when I was pastoring and now at God's Bible School. I'll tell them in a meeting, I'll tell them, don't bring problems to the meeting. Any dummy can point out a problem. Bring solutions. And I think that's true when it comes to those around us who may be faltering and may be struggling. Instead of pointing at the problem, why don't you come to them and help them? Why don't you come to them and say, can I walk with you through this valley? Can I walk with you through this difficult circumstance? How can I bear your burden? Amen? Tonight, for just a little while, I want to talk to us about endurance. Endurance. Did you see in verse 1 he says, let us run, the last part, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In verse 2 it tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Later on in verse number 7, we read that if we endure chastening, all of these words are the same Greek word that bring the idea of staying with it, not quitting, not giving up, not turning aside, not going back on what you have committed. You are all out for God. So tonight, for a little while, there are three questions that I'm going to ask and try to answer. First, what is endurance? Patience and endured and endure that we've seen in these verses tonight are all the same word that means to abide or stay under. In other words, endurance is a firm resolve not to quit. Now, I probably could stop there tonight and make a long application, because, friends, this is essential in our spiritual walk. You've got to get to the point in your walk with God that you're not going to quit. You're not going to turn aside. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. It doesn't matter who may be against you. It doesn't matter if my world is crumbling around me. One thing I've resolved is I'm not going to quit. Amen? And if you make that determination, friends, I want to assure you that that's half the battle. Half the battle is deciding that I'm all in. This is my only option. The old-time gospel songwriter said it this way: every bridge is burned behind me. What was he saying? I've cut off any possibility of retreat. The songwriter, I think, after reading some history, must have known a little bit about Stonewall Jackson. You ever read about Stonewall Jackson? Stonewall was a great Confederate general, and some say that if he had not been killed, that perhaps the South would have won. We don't know, but Stonewall Jackson was a praying man. History tells us that he would, before a battle, pray all night long that God would give him a victory, and he would go out and fight the battle, and he would do things that would baffle people, and a lot of religious folks think that it was because he was spirit-led in those battles. But one of the things that Jackson did, his men were feared more than any other Southern general, but one of the things that Jackson did when they would start a march to go face the Union armies, as many times as they crossed a bridge, he'd blow it up. What was he doing? He was saying to his soldiers, we're going into battle and we're not going back that way. And so you might as well sharpen your bayonets. You might as well make sure you have enough bullets and enough powder, because we're going to stay in the battle. We're not going to retreat. And friends, I believe tonight that if we would have that same kind of determination, that many people would make it to the finish line simply because they chose to not give up and turn aside. Every year, Australia hosts a 543-mile endurance race. You heard me right. 543 miles, not in a car, on foot. The race is from Sydney, Australia to Melbourne. It's considered among the world's most grueling ultra marathons. The race takes 5 days to complete, and is normally only attempted by world-class athletes who train and train and train and train for this event. All of the athletes are typically less than 30 years old. They have backing from companies like Under Armour and Nike and Adidas and all of those big name companies. But in 1983, a man by the name of Cliff Young showed up at the starting line of this race. Cliff wasn't in his 30s. Cliff was 61 years old. Cliff didn't show up in running shorts or running pants. Cliff didn't show up in running shoes. He showed up in bib overhauls and work boots. To everyone's shock, he didn't just show up to observe the start of the race. He walked to the table that was handing out race numbers and he picked up a number pendant on his bib overhauls and he joined the other runners. The press and other athletes were curious, as you can imagine. They said, "What are you doing? You're crazy. You can't run a race looking like that. You can't win a race wearing those kinds of shoes." He said, "Oh, I grew up on a farm chasing sheep. This can't be much different than that." And when the race started, the pros were quickly out in front. They left Cliff behind. Those who were observing the race said Cliff never really ran. He had this weird shuffle that was something between a walk and a jog. In fact, it's called today the Cliff Shuffle. And he just started going. All of the professional athletes knew that it took 5 days to finish the race. And in order to complete the race, you ran or jogged or walked about 18 hours a day. And you slept for 6 hours to have enough energy to make it to the finish line. The thing is, Cliff didn't know you were supposed to sleep for those 6 hours. He just kept on running. Or should I say, he just kept on shuffling. In fact, in 1983, Cliff Young was the first competitor to cross the finish line. He did it in 3 days and 18 hours. Never breaking into a jog, never breaking into a trot, just this little shuffle, the Cliff Young shuffle. And he made it to the finish line, I think it was 18 hours before the professionals. Why? Why? He wouldn't quit. "I don't have time to sleep. I'm in a race. I don't have time to slow down. I'm in a race. I don't have time to turn aside. I'm in a race." And he won the race. Why? Because he just kept going. What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about endurance. And in the context of this spiritual race that the Hebrew writer is talking about, it means that we will get to the finish line. We will complete what we have started in spite of difficulty, in spite of danger, in spite of disillusionment, in spite of pain, in spite of anything that we might experience during the race. We are going to finish the race. We're going to just keep running along. In other words, it means that we're going to just keep our focus, remember, on the author and the finisher of our faith, which is who? Jesus. You do what you want to do. You turn aside if you want to. You can take a nap for 6 hours if you want to. But I'm going to stay on the racetrack and keep my eyes upon Jesus. And it's right here, friends. And we can learn a valuable lesson. It's this: that we can trust God in the midst of adversities because we're serving a God who is ultimately in control of them. We can trust God in the middle of trials because He's in control of the trial. And it's as we grow in faith that we persevere under trials and we can resist the temptation to quit and we can stop absorbing the pressures of life because we know that God is ultimately in control. Our sister said it in her testimony. When I feel myself getting tense and getting high strung over some kind of issue, I go to God and He brings that peace. You see, she's learned that He's the one that she needs to lean on in the midst of conflict and chaos because He's in control. And friends, recognizing that God is in control brings endurance to the spiritual life. And endurance is critical because it is God's way of developing settled and established, solid Christians. What is endurance? It's just keep going, keep running. Why do we need endurance? It tells us later on, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Now, in the context of Hebrews, the Roman government and religious opponents were persecuting the believers here. And this persecution affected the early church, and it was an emotional persecution, but also physical and spiritual. And the Hebrew writer is telling them, don't allow this pressure, both outward pressure and inward pressure, to affect your spiritual life. Don't get to the point in your life where you're worn out and exhausted spiritually. Because the writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recognized that when our minds grow weary, we lose our determination. We lose our focus, and we just want to give up, right? Get tired. How many have ever driven down the road and found yourself just kind of in that stage where if you're not careful, you're going to sleep? You ever been there? Am I the only guy? I drove back to Cincinnati last night, and I'm telling you, from the time I hit Aurora, Indiana on 50, between there and home, I was having to do everything I could to try to stay awake. It was just, I was drinking anything I could grab. I was getting water. I was holding, I filled my mouth up with water and hold it because I knew if I fell asleep, it'd fall out and get me wet and I'd wake up. I've had friends say, pull a $100 bill out of your pocket and hold it out the window. That'll keep you awake. I don't want to lose $100. I'd rather wreck. There's all kinds of things that I do. When I'm sitting in church, it's terrible, I know. But when I'm out there, I struggle sometimes staying awake. So one of the things I do is I take my leg and I hold it up against the pew in front of me for as absolute long as I can. And it starts shaking, you know, and I'm just trying to stay awake. Why? Because if I don't stay awake, I'm probably going to fall off the pew and embarrass myself. Or embarrass my wife. She's the one that's jabbing me, saying, you don't like it when they sleep on you. Well, I'm not that boring. No, 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 I don't say that. I don't say that. But why? Why? Because we recognize that when our mind is not sharp, it's easier to make a mistake. Some of you, Satan is just fine with where you are spiritually because your mind is dulled. And you're on the verge of falling asleep spiritually. And I'm here tonight saying, if you want to endure, if you want to finish the race, you've got to stay sharp. Don't let the enemy get into your mind and control you. Don't let the enemy get in your mind and mess with you. Don't let the enemy get in your mind and weary you. The Hebrew writer, why is he writing this? Because he wants to encourage us not to falter before we hit the finish line. Here in the context, some of the believers were going back to their old spiritual religious roots. Some of them were going back to Judaism and all of the rites and all of the rules and all of the regulations of Judaism. And some were going back into polytheism. They believed that it didn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. And the Hebrew writer is saying, don't go back. Keep your mind sharp. Keep your focus intact. Look to Jesus. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. And friends, if the writer of Hebrews could stand before us today, I think he would warn us as well. Don't fall into a religion that's just a bunch of rules and regulations. But he would also say, don't throw it all away. Don't follow the gods of this world. Make sure you keep your eyes upon Jesus. Make sure you keep on the racetrack. Make sure that your focus is upon the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. How many have given up? How many have given up spiritually because they were discouraged? How many have given up spiritually because they were tired? How many have given up because they got their eye off of Jesus, like Peter when he was trying to walk on the water? Friend, I challenge you tonight. Endurance is keeping your eyes upon Jesus. Looked at what is endurance. And why do we need endurance? Thirdly tonight, what is the means of endurance? You say, what does that mean? How are we able to endure? What is the motivation? What helps us to endure? Well, I've said it tonight. I've said it every time I preached. It's really simple. Look to Jesus. We are told, if you were to look at verse 3, we're told that we are to consider Him, look at it with me, we're to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Now, how many got that the first time through? You got it. You understand what that's saying right now. We consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. I've read that a lot. Sometimes you have to take Scripture and work on it like a dog with a bone. You just have to chew on it. You have to meditate on it. You have to say, okay, God, what is this saying? Let me try to put this in a translation that I call the LSV translation. You know what LSV stands for? You know, we have the KJV. This is the LSV. It's the Loper Standard Version, all right? In other words, he's saying this. We should mentally compare Christ's sufferings with ours. You think you have it bad? Look to Jesus. What did He go through? Now, unless you fall into a trap right here, I need to point this out. Do you know that there were and have been Christians who suffered a more horrendous death than Jesus did on the cross? You ever stop to consider that? You look at some of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you see what some of those folks went through. I can't even read the book. I close it and put it back on the shelf and say, somebody else can read it and tell me about it. It was worse than the crucifixion. But the crucifixion wasn't the bad part. Do you know what was bad about Christ's death on the cross? It's because He had been loaded down with our sins. It wasn't just the cross that made it bad. It was the fact that He took our sins to the cross. He became our sin. Who knew no sin. The pain of the cross was Him enduring all of the sins of humanity when He went to the cross. And so the writer of Hebrews says, you think you have it bad? Think for a moment about the sinless Son of God who took the sins of all of mankind upon Himself. And then He went to the cross where He suffered and He bled and He died. You think you have it bad? Look to Jesus. If Jesus can endure, you can endure what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter the difficulties that you find yourself in. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, consider Him. Look to Jesus. Friends, I remind us tonight, we do not find strength to run this race in self-help books. We don't find strength, they may help, but we don't find the strength to run this race in self-effort. Oh, if I just do better, if I just try harder, if I just pray more, if I just read the Bible more. No, no, no. We don't find the strength to run this race through personal discipline or any other selfish means. We find strength to run this race through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anything else, listen to me tonight, anything else is a works religion. For by grace, the writer to Ephesians said, or Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. You're not saved by any of these things. You're saved by grace through faith alone. Amen? And by the way, let me just add this. This is free tonight. You're entirely sanctified by grace through faith too. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hello? So it's not through any of these means. It's only through looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. 1986, the New York City Marathon had almost 20,000 runners. And what was memorable about that race is not who won, but who finished last. The fellow who finished last was named Bob Whelan. He finished 19,413th, dead last, in the Boston Marathon. It took him 4 days, 2 hours, and 47 minutes to go the 26 miles. It was unquestionably the slowest marathon in history, ever. So what made Bob Whelan's marathon so special? He ran on his arms. 17 years earlier in Vietnam, he lost his legs in a battle. He sits on a 15-pound saddle, covers his fist with pads, and uses his arms to catapult him one hop at a time. All the way through the Boston Marathon. Wow. I look around. I see folks, spiritually speaking, that are a whole lot faster than me. But I'm determined that I'm going to make it to that city if it's one hop at a time. I'm not giving up. I've done made my mind up. I'm looking to Jesus. And you may pass this old slow preacher, but I'm still going to be coming just one hop at a time. Why? Because it's endurance. It's endurance. It's endurance that wins the day. It's not the one who runs the swiftest. In the 2002 Winter Olympics, there were 5 finalists in the men's 1,000 meter skating race. During the final lap, the American and the Chinese were out in front with the Canadian and the Korean skaters right on their heels. Australia was in the very last position. In fact, he was so far out of place that he wasn't even in the pack. The video cameras weren't even trained on this fella. He was in last place. Everybody knew he was going to finish last. As they came around the last curve for the final straightaway, everyone gathered around to see who was going to win. And the Americans were cheering for the American. And the Chinese were cheering for the Chinese. And the Canadians were cheering for the Canadian. Who's going to win the gold? And suddenly, the Chinese skater slightly bumped the American and sent them both careening into the wall. They spun out of control, and as they're spinning out of control, they took out every single skater in that lead group. I mean, they're laying down. Skates are everywhere. The Korean crashes in. The Canadian crashes on top. And the Australian, who was dead last, he's not going to even get a bronze, skated smoothly by. And he won the gold. Not because he was the fastest. Why did he win? Because he finished the race. He finished the race. So let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Do you know this song? Not the one, sing it with me, who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but the one who endureth to the end. He shall be saved. Let's stand and sing that again. Not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but the one who endureth to the end. He shall be saved. Do you believe that tonight? How many are committed to running? Amen? Are you committed to running? How many are committed to making it? Raise your hand. Are you committed to making it? By God's grace, by His help, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm going to run with endurance. Father, we thank You tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, tonight I pray that every single person in this church service would commit in their heart that they're not giving up, that they're not backing down, that they're not going to turn aside. Father, I pray that You would give them a determination, give them the endurance to look to Jesus to finish the race that You have for them. And Father in heaven, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Keep running. Look to Jesus. You're dismissed.